I am a Chevy driving, Apple Mac computing, coffee drinking, fan of Diet Pepsi and thin crust pizza. That's me. I don't know why I actually have all those preferences and things that I like, but that is me. What about you? Do you have some preferences? You have some things you like, certain brands that you like? Somebody, you can raise a hand, you can say, yes, we do. Let's do a little quiz this morning to see where we're at on some of these so-called differences. Coffee or tea? Who's tea? Okay, who's coffee? Anybody both? I can do both. I can celebrate both. All those warm beverages. How about Mac or PC? Who's Mac? Three of us, four of us. Okay, who's PC? Okay, you win. You Microsoft people. Coke or Pepsi?
Pepsi.
I get some differences here. I lived in the South for a while, and everything was Coke. Even if it was like clear, we would call it like 7-Up up here. They call it clear Coke. Everything was Coke. I don't know why. I think it's out of Atlanta. Ford or Chevy? Dodge? Anybody? Any kind of middle? Okay, all right. Printed or digital books? Who's printed? Come on, printed people, unite. Like to turn the pages,
Audio,
there we go. I forgot about audio. We all have preferences, I can tell. How about, this is important, this is really theological this morning. You're going to be glad I brought this up. Crunchy or smooth peanut butter?
Crunchy.
Crunchy, who's crunchy? Come on. I think Jesus ate crunchy peanut butter. I don't know if they had that back then. Okay, this is also important. Toilet paper roll, the sheet go over or under?
Over.
I think that's what we're told to do in the Bible. And this may divide, I don't know. Pineapple on pizza?
Yes.
Who's a fan? Who's a fan? Who's not a fan? Who think that's you shouldn't put fruit on pizza? Okay. Look, the point is, I'm being silly. We all have some differences. We have lots of differences. Probably, if you scan this room, even things that we would agree on, getting there, we may not agree on. Like, we might agree to something in principle, but then to get there, we might have differences of opinion. We have differences. Actually, I think the differences are beautiful. I think we would be bored if everybody did the same thing all the time. Everybody preferred the same thing. It would be boring. There's a beauty in the diversity of opinions out there. You agree? I mean, I think it's good. Even your significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, spouse, whatever, I would imagine that there's quite a few things you differ on, but you still love each other, and that's okay. The diversity makes us fun. But when it comes to the church family, when differences and preferences start to turn into toxic division, now we got a problem. Why would I say that? Because, in this series we're calling it polarized, when we are polarized, when we're divided, we're off mission. Because we can't think about mission because we're divided. Jesus, in one of his longest recorded, I think one of the last parts of the moments of his life, in John chapter 17, he prays for us. And he doesn't pray that you and I would be good little Christian boys and girls. He doesn't pray that we would have all of our health all the time and lots of money and be happy all the time. There's lots of things he could have prayed for, but you know what he prayed for? That we would be unified. He prayed for unity. It was a top priority for him that we, those who believed so many centuries later, would be unified. That's what he prayed for. So this series, Polarized, we're looking at ways that we, as a people of God, as Christ followers, ways that we can be unified, even if we have some disagreements here and there on different issues. That at the end of the day, we can honor the prayer that Jesus prayed for us, and we can be unified on what's really important. Our priority lists are going to be his priority lists. We can be unified even if we have disagreements, differences of opinion. That even there, we can still love each other unconditionally. John 17 is where we're going to be. Good morning, I'm Pastor Ben. Glad you're here. You'll notice there's some printed Bibles around here. I are a person who likes to flip pages. And if you want to know what page we're going to be on, I actually looked it up. John 17 shows up on page 624. So there you go. I haven't set a page number in this church family for years. Maybe never, I don't know. We're about to turn 17 years old as a church. We got started in October of 2007. Blows my mind that this is year 17. But 624 is what we're going to be, or in your Bible or device. We're starting this series called Polarized because in many ways, our culture, this current moment we're in, people tend to be divided and they're arguing and all those kinds of things. That's happening outside all around us. But when it comes to the church, Jesus is praying that we would be unified on the most important things. People have argued over the years about theology and politics and social issues, rights and responsibilities, how all that plays out, so many other areas. And the thing is, we have an enemy, and it's not against flesh and blood. Our enemy, the deceiver, called Satan, not capital S, but the accuser, would really love us to stay divided. He would love it if we were just fighting all the time in fighting and we never got to the mission that Jesus called us to. He would love it if we'd stay there, just angry at each other, close-fisted, rather than accomplishing the mission he's called us to. And so he prays for us to be unified. We may have differences as we go through the series, but we never have an excuse to disrespect, devalue, or denigrate someone else. Because Jesus told us in John 13, as I have loved you, you also should love. That is an unconditional, self-sacrificing love. So no matter where you show up on these issues, if you're looking at a brother and sister in Christ, we are unified in him. And we never, ever have an excuse to be disrespectful, even if we disagree. And we're going to be looking at it all. This is no holds barred, folks, in this series. Today is no different. Today, I'm going to focus on what it means to be unified, not divided. Turns out, if you look at the different polls out there, and people at churches don't feel like the church family is a place where they feel like we're united. And we can change that. We can be united on what's most important. So this morning, we're going to be leaning into that. Would you pray for me? I'm going to need your grace. And that would be great. And you're probably thinking, man, I'm glad I'm not preaching today. Well, here we go. Let's pray. Let's have you have grace for me. I'll have grace for you. Let's pray and ask God to speak through his word, right? Let's pray. Father, you're good and mighty. Speak to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak to each of our hearts about what you desired for us to be unified on what's most important. Father, help us to be that sort of people so that the world may know that you exist and you love them. Father, empower us for that today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John 17. Jesus is likely thinking of his early followers in this chapter. Toward the end of his life, he's probably thinking about the men and women who have decided to journey with him the last several years, the last 3 years especially. These men and women that have really given up a lot to follow this Messiah Jesus. He's thinking about them. As many of them have started to say to each other, Jesus is Lord, not Caesar. It's a very political statement they were making, but not political in the way we think political. They were making a lifestyle choice, saying, I am following Jesus Messiah, not the Roman Emperor. And in many ways, that got many of them killed. Jesus is thinking about them as they're saying this phrase to each other, and he prays for them in John 17. I'm just going to read a portion of it. I don't ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. He's praying for his disciples, but he's thinking about us, those who would believe by reading their testimony. He's praying for us here. He says that they may all be one just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Listen to this. I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. That's quite the prayer. He's thinking ahead to you and me. He's thinking ahead. He's praying about us right now in these seats. He was praying about me, that we would be unified. Just like Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the divine unity, he wanted his followers to have that same close unity together. See, Messiah Jesus saw this as vital, not just for us as a family to be healthy, but also that the world may know that when they see us unified in a very divided world, they would say, wow, something's different about these group of people. These Jesus followers, they seem to be like united. How is this possible in a polarized world? Jesus prays for this. And he's probably even thinking of Psalm 133. There's a phrase in Psalm 133 that says, isn't it wonderful? Isn't it good and pleasant when brothers and sisters dwell in unity? He might have been thinking that in the back of his mind as he prays for us who would believe so many centuries later. This is echoed by early church leader Paul in his letter to his friends, the church in Ephesus. And he writes this, and this is really, really, if you've never read through this, listen closely. I urge you, this is the Apostle Paul talking now, in a manner, I would urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and in all and through all. The last several years have been really hard. From the last several elections to a pandemic that many of us still don't really understand, it has been really hard. I have a lot of colleagues, friends that got out of ministry because of it. Because in one moment, I felt like I was supposed to be an infectious disease expert and an expert in constitutional law and an expert in state law versus federal law. I was supposed to be the guy that knew all of that. And it was really, really frustrating. And I'm trying to follow what I believe that scriptures tell us to do in places like Romans 13, which says, obey all governing authorities. But people are saying, well, not those authorities. Certain authorities you don't have to. This was coming at me a lot. And then I look at Peter's writing, and he says, actually, he uses the phrase, obey the emperor. Do you know who the emperor was during Paul's life, or at least one of them? Was Nero. That was a stand-up guy. Check your history. Not a good guy. He says to obey the emperor. And I'm trying to weigh this all out. Our church leadership, I'm trying to weigh it out. Everybody's mad at me. It's been hard. People are so divided. And it hurt the church. This is exactly what Satan wanted to do. He didn't have to worry about what's out there. As long as he can get us to fight each other, we're totally off mission. It's really hard to love one another, serve one another. And then I read that passage. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit, the bond of peace. This is what Paul was writing to his friends in Ephesus. And man, it sure didn't feel like that. I didn't feel like I saw a lot of people eager to maintain the unity with humility, gentleness, and respect. This is what we're called to do as Christ followers. If you don't like it, I get it. If you don't want to treat people with respect and have humility and bear with one another, that's fine. You're not part of the Jesus kingdom then. He calls us to be different. The church, the word in Greek is the called out ones. We're called out to be different. And how are we different? That the world may know, what did Jesus pray? They would be one as we are one. This is what Jesus is calling us to do. The source of our unity, let me just say this plain as I can. The source of our unity isn't on agreeing on everything. We will never do that. We all have our differences of opinion. Our unity is built on faith, trust, and allegiance only to Jesus, the one true God. That's where our unity is based on, that the world may know when they see us. From the beginning, our church has really kind of lived out this phrase that we borrowed from centuries ago, from the old Stone Campbell movement, this guy named Alexander Campbell back in the day, the Churches of Christ, Christian churches. There was something that really, really was powerful for them and for us as a church, and it was a phrase that helped us put a perspective on what's important and what's not important, so that we could honor Jesus' prayer and be unified, that the world may know. And this is a phrase that we say it often. If you've ever taken our starting point class, it's one of the first things we do. And it's this: in essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, love. Let me just say that again, because we've really tried to stick with this all these years. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, what? Love. So, those essentials. And all these years that I've done ministry, I've realized that many people in the church tend to put non-essentials in the place of essentials. Does it all the time. Style of music. Churches have divided over the color of carpet. Ridiculous things. They've taken non-essentials and tried to make them essentials. The essentials are really like a handful. Who God is, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that's essential. The authority of Scripture, that's essential. Who Jesus is and what he did for us, salvation by faith, our sinful nature, these are essential for us. Non-essential, style of music. I prefer country. Ryan won't play it, so I believe God is working on his heart on this. That is a classic example of a non-essential. We have preferences, we have differences, but our unity is based on Messiah Jesus, not on the color of the carpet or the style of music. We've had people leave our church because I didn't use the King James Version of the English Bible. Now, if you're a Bible nerd like me, you realize we've had translations from the beginning. Did you know that the early church probably didn't talk to each other necessarily in Koine Greek, which is our oldest manuscripts? They were probably speaking Aramaic at home. And then when they would go to the marketplace, they might switch into Greek. If they were in maybe Rome, they might pop into Latin. Cultures all over the world are used to this. We have been a translating community since the beginning. And you know what's amazing? The early church decided, what language should we tell these stories of Jesus in? What language is worldwide? What language would help us spread the good news of Jesus who we're unified on? What language should we use? Oh, the common Greek language that everyone in the Roman Empire could understand. Genius. They could have put it in Hebrew. Yeah, then the Sadducees would love that. They could have put it in Latin, but a lot of people wouldn't know Latin. Not well, but everybody spoke Koine Greek. Genius. We have been a translating community from the beginning. United on Jesus Messiah. In essentials, unity. In non-essentials, liberty. In all things, love. We unify on what's most important. Jesus is Lord and loving one another. That's what we're unified on. And we got to be aware of these things, where sometimes non-essentials seem really important or secondary issues seem really important. But that happens too often when we're confusing secondary and non-essential issues for the essential issues. Jesus asked us to be unified on the basis of the divine unity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, that we would be one that the world may know. And that we would work together because unity is worth fighting for. That we would have gentleness with each other. that we would have patience with each other, that we would be eager to maintain the unity in the bond of the Spirit. That's what we're called to do. There's another way to look at this. Sometimes people will have their preferences, and sometimes they'll close their fist. My preferences. And there's a genius to opening the fist sometimes. There are closed-fisted issues, and there's open-handed issues. And a lot of things are open-handed issues. You can disagree with me on how often we should have communion. You can disagree with me on how you think the end times is going to go. Okay. I still love you. We're still on the same page. And we may have differences about these things. So there are a lot of issues that really are open-handed issues. The problem is when sometimes we get to thinking that our opinions are correct and our way is right, we start to close our fists, and that's a real good way to fight. Our essentials, who God is, salvation by Jesus, by faith, it's a gift, we didn't earn it. The authority of Scripture, the nature of humanity, these are things that we can agree on as essential, but there's a lot of things that are non-essential, and that's not the unity source. Jesus as Lord is our unity source. We are in an interesting political, social moment, and the world around us wants to fight about everything. But here's what Jesus is calling us to do, to be unified as a body, one body, under Jesus as our Lord. That's what he's calling us to do. Not everything can be a hill to die on. The thing about dying on a hill is you die. That doesn't sound fun to me. There are a lot of things that are non-essential, secondary, not primary issues. And I think we need to come to grips with that. How do you stand on this? Are you someone that feels like we have good enough unity in the church family? Or maybe you're feeling like we need a little more unity. Is it something that you're working toward? Jesus thought it was important, and it's a top priority for him. Is it a top priority for you? How we seek unity together in the midst of such a polarized society. The thing is, when we're polarized and we're divided, we're weaker, and we're not on mission anymore. That makes sense? We're just polar opposites, and we're not going to be effective. We're not going to accomplish the mission that Jesus has for us. So for us today, for you and I, let us get to the point where we can disagree on just about everything, but love unconditionally. And we can disagree on a lot of different things, but we can love unconditionally. Why? Because Ben said so? No. Jesus said in John 13, "As I have loved you, so love one another." This wasn't just a generic, "Hey, love everybody." We know what that love cost. "As I have loved you, so love one another." And when we're divided and polarized, that doesn't feel very loving. But what we're unifying on is not all these secondary issues. We're unifying on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and his kingdom priorities become ours. Now, if you don't like that, okay. But if you're saying Jesus is Lord, he's the King, his kingdom ways are now my priorities, if you're saying that, then we need to live that. It's the narrow way. I get that it's difficult. Loving your neighbor when they have a particular partisan flag in their front yard doesn't change what we're supposed to do. Love one another as I have loved you, so love your neighbor. When someone's disagreeing you about certain things, or someone's trying to hit you on social media with something, or you're getting that angry email, with all humility and gentleness, bearing with one another in the church family, that's what we're called to. And we unify on the basis of Jesus is Lord. We can be disagreeing on different things, but it doesn't ever give us an excuse to be disrespectful, to devalue somebody, and to run them through the mud. That's not the way of a Christ follower. So when you're feeling tempted that way, that's not the way of Jesus. That may be the way of other things, or the way of the world, or how everything kind of works in society around us, but that's not how the church works. Jesus told something, told a story in Matthew 7 that I think is helpful in this conversation. And he told us in Matthew 7 a little story about specks and logs. Are you familiar with that story? If you're not, let me just kind of bring it back. Specks and logs. Where if you're looking at someone who you disagree with or someone you think you need to correct, Jesus says, watch out, because you're trying to help them with their little teeny speck in their eye, but you've got a 2x4 growing out of your eye. It's a huge metaphor. I mean, Jesus understood metaphor. How ridiculous is that? That you're walking around with a 2x4 in your eye, and this person's got a little speck. The point of the story is simple. Everyone is wrong about something. I know you think you're so smart. I think I'm so smart. I've researched the issue. Everybody is wrong about something. So watch out. We can disagree on different things and still love unconditionally. Look, Jesus was around people that were wrong probably most of the time. He was God put on flesh. Imagine if he corrected everything that James said weird or Peter said weird. Well, he got Peter a couple times, but you know what I'm saying. That could be his entire ministry. You're wrong, you're wrong. No, that's wrong. He was God. And what did he choose to do? Love unconditionally. Everybody's wrong about something. I like what professor and writer Dr. Daniel McCoy said about this whole thing. He said, look, we are not aiming for uniformity. We're not a bunch of clones. We're not aiming for uniformity, but unity. Amidst our differences, let's submit to the lordship of Jesus and make his prayer our prayer. Make his priorities our priorities, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you have loved me. The key to our unity is this one statement: Jesus is Lord. There's lots of things that can take our attention away, lots of things we can spend time on. The early church affirmed this very political statement, but not political the way we think of it. It was a life choice. Jesus is Lord. And if he is Lord, then he calls the shots. So when he calls us to be gentle and kind, those aren't options. That's our mandate. That's our platform, is the ways of Jesus. So if we say and affirm that Jesus is Lord, he's the one that calls the shots. We're told to keep our eyes fixed on the author and perfecter of our faith, and that is Messiah Jesus. The key to our unity is saying and living out Jesus is Lord. Jesus had a design for his church, his called out ones, that they would live different. And how is that different? They were unified on what's most important, that Jesus is Lord. He wanted one family of believers, a single body under his leadership. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. There is no excuse for us to disrespect each other, to devalue one another. No excuse. Not in the kingdom. If you want to do that, that's fine, but that's not the Jesus way. There is no excuse for dividing and polarizing and being divided in this toxic environment. We're called to be one, to be unified in Jesus Messiah. We cannot accomplish the mission he's called us to without being unified. Lots of things can take our time, but Jesus is Lord means top priority. In fact, Jesus himself even said, here's your priority list, folks. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first. That's the unity. That's the key to our unity. Jesus is Lord. Can I get an amen on that? Is there anybody out there? You agree with me? We don't have to agree on everything. We probably, in this room, think about this, look around. We're gonna disagree on stuff. It's gonna happen. But we're gonna do that with unconditional love for each other. Because we're aiming to do what Paul wanted us to do, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another. We're gonna do that. So we can disagree on secondary, non-essential issues, but our agreeance, our unity is based on Jesus is Lord. And that changes everything. Imagine if the world around us, especially right now, that's so divided and polarized, if they could see a group of people that love each other fiercely, even though we may not agree on everything. What would that look like? Because when Jesus prayed it, he said, you know, when you do that, the world will know. And I would love the world to know by looking at even a church family like us, that we're unified on Jesus as Lord, the world around us is going to see that and go, whoa. Can we believe that that could happen? I think it can, even in 2024 and beyond. Let's pray. Father, you're good and mighty. Help us to live this out, Father. This is tough. But that our church family would be unified on the basis of your Son, Messiah Jesus. And that, Father, that the world would see us and they would know there's something special there, that Jesus, Messiah, does live. Father, help us to show that to the world around us, that we would treat each other with respect and humility and gentleness, even though we may not agree on everything. But Lord, that we would love unconditionally. And Father, we affirm together today, Jesus is Lord. Amen.